Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend. Okay. It is time. We finally hit the month of June. So here's what we're gonna do. I know you're probably wondering, like, what are you jumping off so ecstatic about, JB? Like, what's going on? Well, it's finally Transformers month. This is where we're gonna just chat about the Michael Bay Transformer films. And this week for Whiskey Week, I'm talking about the first and second one. Now, these are like a little bonus plug-in reviews, if you want to. Because me and Cody kind of like referenced them so many fucking times that it's like, we're just going to do a fucking drink sip review about it. And then basically what I mean by review, it's not really a review of it neither. It's just me bringing up some plot points or just points in general about the movies. Just to fucking drink and laugh about. By the way, welcome everyone to The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I am JB. And it is my birthday. Actually, yeah, by the time this goes up, it will be my birth. No. My birthday is on Tuesday. So, by the time this goes up, it still won't be the birthday. But yeah, I digress. Cody cannot be on this episode because he had some plans to do. And I had some plans to do this morning. I had some birthday brunches to attend. And then, you know, I'm going to be taking a little vacation as well. So, just didn't have the time frame for it. And I was thinking, like, damn, maybe I should hold off the Transformers reviews till July then. And then I said, fuck that. I kind of briefly watched through the first two movies, and I was like, there is a lot of fast-forwarding I'd have to do. You know what I love about not having to review movies now? I was like, I can just fast-forward through shit. That just get me to the point. Especially in that first fucking film. That first film is so goddamn boring. I was like, yeah, we're just gonna get through this. But what I'm doing this month, though, as far as when it comes to the whiskey, because it is whiskey week here in The Last Drop, I am doing, and it's my birthday month, so I am doing the Weller lineup. Mwah. Ooh, you're so beautiful. So, for this episode, I am introducing the Weller CYPB Craft Your Perfect Bourbon, baby. And then for Mix and Match Week, when we get into Transformers 5, Transformers 3 will be beer, Craft Beer Week, and then 4 will be, I think that's the one with the dinosaurs? Yeah, I think that's that one, Extinction. And then when we're going to do a bonus episode, Mix and Match, I'm going to do some store pick Wellers. Mainly, I'm going to probably do like Full Proof and the Antique 107 and maybe the Special Reserve store pick. Because we're just going to, that's where we wrap up our Transformers review, the Transformers review month. And we've done things like this before. So like last year, we did a lot of music stuff. We did like album reviews or discographies of certain bands or individuals that we enjoyed, like Lupe Fiasco and Daft Punk. And now for this month, we're doing Transformers. But here's what I'm going to do. Instead of like doing the non-essential drink part of the show first, and usually we get into the reviews right away, this time alone, we're going to knock out the drinks right away in case you just don't want to hear any of the other shit, which I don't know why you wouldn't, because I can tell you right now, next week, getting into number 3, that shit's going to be fucking hilarious. So when we get into that, it's going to be funny as hell. I'm just going to briefly go through the first two movies on this one because it's just no fun without Mr. 5G Black Alien out here. But so I'm going to knock out a Weller review. And then pretty much wrap up the show. But if you want to stay on and listen to this, I'm about to get in the Transformers 1 and 2 from 2007 and 2009 from the great Michael Bay. And just go over some of the most ridiculous, funniest shit I've ever fucking seen in my life. Hold on. Got to turn the foot massager on real quick. Oh, there we go. So if you hear that in the background, it's I got one of those where you just suck your feet in or whatever, and next you know, ooh, so it feels so comfortable. So with that said, we're not even going to get into sports talk or anything like that. No, I don't want to talk about that. We're going to go straight into a Weller CYPB. So, ooh, let's go ahead and pour that bad boy. And I'm going to be sipping on this pretty much the whole show. Hope you guys enjoyed the Ardbeg Day show. It was about 21 minutes long, probably 19 if you want to take out the intro and stuff like that. Ardbeg Day was great. It's fantastic. It got a lot of praise and stuff like that. We're definitely going to be doing some more Ardbeg shows because, well, yours truly is going to be doing a lot of stuff with Ardbeg. So there's definitely going to be some more solo Ardbeg shows coming, which I'm getting some more liquid gold from them, if you say. So look forward to that one coming up. But let's get into talking some Weller CYPB. I got a time-sensitive email. So the color on that glass, man, it's got like that copper amber color. And I think on this one, if I'm not mistaken, because I got this bottle in 2021, but I can't remember. It might have been around this time, too. Matter of fact, you know what? Fuck it. You just look it up. All you gotta do is just go to good old IG, which you can follow me there on Phenomenal01. Let's just check it out real quick. Because I know I posted the damn thing. So, Weller. Okay. August. Okay, never mind. Not even close. So I got this in August. And I think I remember where, but I'm not going to say where because I don't want to give fucking... I got it from old Total Wine and More or whatever. And them motherfuckers go start looking there and be like, they don't see shit there. And I look like a dumbass. So I can't remember exactly where I got it. But, man, I was so fucking happy to get this. I think I dropped $300 on this. No, I did not. No, I dropped $250 on this. That's right. And even that's fucking crazy price to me. But I was just like, I'm not going to get it any cheaper than that. Especially when price is looking at $700, $600, $800, whatever. So if only I could find the damn single barrel for that price. Even though I don't really enjoy it all that much. But I still just want the whole lineup itself. Hell, I need another Weller CYPB bottle. Because I already killed one of them. So this is the last one I got here. On the nose here. Man. Super fruity, man. It's mild. Bacon spices are all over. Roasted nuts in the background. Oh, man. I love it, though. Okay, massager, you're making too much goddamn noise. I think I can hear you in the background, so we're just gonna lower you down a little bit. Because people are gonna be thinking you're a vibrator on, so we're just gonna... Let's change this. Let's cut that off. There we go. Okay. There we go. Let's just keep it to us. Okay. So even when it just like does that, it's gonna make all that noise. Okay. So we're just gonna cut that off and do that then. All right. There we go. Still making that fucking noise. Okay. There we go. Finally. So anyway. Okay, it ain't doing shit now. Fuck you, foot massager. Let's get in a sip in this bad boy right here. So I always go back and forth between the Foolproof and the Weller 107 on which one I like more. I tend to think that the Foolproof might... it always just like, every time I do side-by-side comparisons with one or the other, it's always just like, it's just a little something the other one has that I'm looking for that particular week that I'm drinking them. And then I finally tried this like back in, was it 2018? Might have been 2018. I said, damn, this is pretty good. But I don't put it up there with the 107 or Foolproof. This is a third favorite. Let's just put it that way. I think it lingers more in the Foolproof range as far as the heat goes. But I'll need to
come back to you guys on that in 2 weeks when I try the 107 and foolproof itself. It's fucking warm as hell. It's very buttery. There's a lot of caramel on there. All on the palate. The mouthful is not as spicy and hot, though. It's kind of like a light medium, if you will. There's some cocoa. The finish is like a burst of spiciness and fruitness. There's chocolate on there, but it's like very fading. Now, the reason why I don't put this up there with the foolproof and the 107 is because I think the finish lingers way longer, whereas I think this one is just an explosion right when you swallow. So the explosion just kind of expands, and it kind of fades away really fast. So that's the only thing that doesn't keep it from there. I do enjoy that, though. But you know me, I like a nice long finish. Other than the heat on the palate and that explosion, it's very subtle. It's very mild. But it's goddamn enjoyable. The fruit is just like sticking out as well too. I'm thinking like, as far as fruit, I'm thinking like, I was going to say like toasted apples or something like that. A little bit of cherries too, actually, now that I think about it. It's very like, it's not creamy, but it's oily. And it has like that syrupy distinction, like right on the tongue. But I like that it's not too hot and it's just real well balanced and well mediumed out. Like I said, the only thing that doesn't put it up there with me for the 107 and the foolproof is like the finish of it. It's just not as long. It bursts as soon as you hit the swallow button right in your throat. It just bursts into the explosion of its flavor, spice, the heat, and everything it is. And there's like a short little extension there, but it doesn't linger around for too long. It's very light, very subtle. But I like this a lot. This Weller bottle just holds up for me. I think a lot of people didn't enjoy this one just because of this one's at 95 proof too. I think that's probably the reason why a lot of people like their Weller at higher proofs. I mean, even the cork, it's just so clean. Is that synthetic? Holy shit, that is synthetic. Okay, well, yeah, no wonder I like it even more now, yeah. I mean, look, the label is perfect. CYPB, Craft Your Perfect Bourbon. I think this is one of the most beautiful, actually, you know what, it is the most beautiful label out of the Weller lineup. That's not the William LaRue, BTAC, whatever. That white and gold just looks beautiful together. I would say it even looks prettier than the black and gold on the 12-year-old, so. Actually, you know what, mix and match, I'll be doing the 12-year-old. Haven't done that on the show, and it's been a long time since I've sipped on it. So, mix and match week, when we get into Transformers 4, that's when I'll start talking about, is it as bad as I remember? Although, I don't really necessarily hate the bottle, I just think it's like, whatever. I think some points I've even went to say that the Special Reserve even tastes a little bit better, to be honest, but... What I like about this, too, is it doesn't just take over your whole mouth or whatever. It kind of just stays in its lane. It doesn't, like, hit my gums or anything like that by making it, like, full body warm. It kind of just keeps the middle of the tongue going straight down, all the warmth. All the flavor just stays right there in the tongue. It doesn't explode until it gets to the finish. I think that's what I enjoy about this. It's very, very what you see is what you get, you know, or what you taste is what you get, you know. I like that. I like that a lot. I like this so much that I'm going to drop a 3 on this. I can't give it a 3.5 because I don't think it like stands out on the, the craft your perfect bourbon type of deal, whatever. I don't think this is the perfect bourbon. I think it's just a fine, good sipper, retailed at, what, $49 that's charged secondary like fucking crazy to $700 damn near. Hell, I said $250 I paid for it. It was too fucking much, but I wanted the bottle really bad, so and that was the cheapest I was going to see it for. And I'm going to tell you this right now, if I find a bottle that I think is that's the cheapest you're going to see it for, then that should tell you to go ahead and buy it then. Because I am the master at finding things for at least close to retail or close to what a decent price should be. But yeah, I think it's a damn solid good pour. I think it's really tasty. I think it's not as quite on the level of the foolproof for the 107, but damn it, I would say that like it fits in that range of category. It's just missing a few little bit of those elements compared to the two, but it's trying to be different, and I can appreciate that. The price range is fucking ridiculous for it as far as secondary goes, so that definitely takes a point off, or at least half a point off of it as well. But yeah, this is a solid bourbon, man. I could drink this with anything, any time of the day. If I had another fucking bottle, I probably would, but since I've already killed that bottle, yeah, I'm not going to stick with it. This is the 2021 release, too. The last one I had was the... Damn, when did I get that bottle? Was that 2018, 2019? It might have been 2019. I can't even remember now. And that one was solid. I actually even enjoyed that one more than this one. That probably would have got a 3.5. But what this one says, I know a lot of people were shitting on it because of the proof was like, you know, 95 proof. It's still a damn good pour. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I think you would too, actually. Mm. And even without comparing it to the other two, it still holds up on his end. It has the smoke there. The heat is there. The warmth. The flavors. A lot of uniqueness goes into this. A lot of uniqueness going there. Like I said, palate, it's warm, it's buttery. It's got, it's a little oily. It's got a, it's a mouthful of medium. There's like some hint of spices, maybe like pepperish oak. It's very caramel. And then like the finishes have like this burst of fruity flavors. Like a little bit of cherries and caramel, obviously. So yeah, this is a 3 for me. So with that said, let me go ahead and pour me another slab of this because it's time to talk Transformers now. So, people, if you are was waiting for the review of this, you can go ahead and you didn't want to hear the Transformers stuff, you can go ahead and turn this off. But I'm going to tell you this right now. It's going to make you wish you watched these films. So stay tuned because here we go. Now we're talking Transformers now. All right, here we go. Let's talk this first movie in 2007. I think I told Cody, I watched this movie in theaters maybe 6-7 times, maybe even more than that, honestly. I was in competition with my buddy to see how many times we could watch this and find whatever ridiculous shit we could out of this. And I can tell you, every time I went to the theater, because I wasn't a theater guy, I didn't really give a shit about seeing movies and stuff like that. Like, I tell you, if you go into the film community or whatever, there's a lot of fucking people that are film nerds. Like, they are just, like, into this shit. I was never one of those. I did not enjoy going to theater. I could give a shit less about seeing some movies or whatever. And I mean, like, any film, too. I don't care if they had a fucking superhero in them or what. I could just fucking care less. I had an outside life. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, I saw this movie the first time, and I was... At first, I was bored as fuck. But then when it got to the battles... I swear to God, it looked like somebody took some fucking gun. Those, you know those guns that shoot the shirts and shit like that? I think somebody took some fucking aluminum cans and fired them against a wall. Because that's what it looked like every time these fucking robots interacted with each other. So, so let's first of all, you got Shia LaBeouf in this and Megan Fox. Now, Megan Fox so damn fine in this film. That by the end of this film, the most unbelievable thing I saw was them hooking up. And I was like, there ain't no fucking way. I honestly thought that she was going to fuck Optimus Prime or whatever. Like, he's the big star of the film. And you can clearly tell that because the other robots, they don't do shit throughout this whole fucking film. And Optimus, I thought his bloodthirst kicked in like around the third or fourth film. This motherfucker was always bloodthirsty, like... He fought this dude. First of all, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to jump to the ending battle right now. They're on the freeway driving for some reason, and the other Autobots are in front of Optimus. He decides, fuck this, I'm going to hit the brakes. Skrrt! Turn into my full-size robot. And I'm going to fight this dude right on the freeway, which, by the way, they're supposed to be in downtown LA. I have no idea what fucking freeway this was, because when they jumped off of it, there's like six different freeways below. That shit looked like a roller coaster ride. They fall down it, and for some reason, Optimus Big Ass thinks he can hide behind a pillar. And this other robot, I don't even know the fuck of his name. They all got like 1980s wrestler's name. Bulldozer, the Destructoid, Optimus, Ratchet, and Jazz, and Dick Sucker, and all those other fucking names and stuff like that. I was we're gonna talk about that later in the series when he Nitro Zeus, you know. They got like fucking American Gladiator / porn star names in this motherfucker, and he sticks his head fucking Optimus. He sticks his head around this pillar. Like, where'd Optimus go? It's like he couldn't see this big motherfucker. And Optimus just grabs him like in like a position where you put your head underneath someone's arm, like you're about to give him a noogie. And he takes his sword and he jams it in this fucking dude's head. And not only that, Optimus spins the sword like it's on a rotation. Like a you know the things you use, it's electric, they use to smash the potatoes and mashed potatoes or whatever, and he takes his sword and sticks it in his fucking head and he just spins the shit, and I was like, oh my god, this dude is bloodthirsty. And then he just looks at him and is like, you're just waiting for him to say a one-liner like, I don't know, like, your head's on a swivel today. Destroy whatever the fuck your name was, you know. So then the other Autobots, first of all, let me just rewind back whatever. First of all, when the Autobots land, I think it was finally Bumblebee finally decided, like, I'm tired of looking like this ugly ass fucking Camaro that's burnt down and shit. Why the fuck is he run down in the first place? That makes no damn sense. I mean they try to make it seem like looking like a classic car means you a piece of shit. I mean, he could look like that classic Camaro and still, like, be clean. You know? It's like, so he finally sees it was just a car commercial at this point. It literally did, like, the way he rolled up as the new Camaro. And this was 2007, so I remember when those Camaros came out, I thought they were fly as shit. And the way that yellow Camaro just rolled up or whatever, and it made that music. And they're looking like, oh. Honestly, they should have just used that as a commercial for the fucking Camaro, because it made more sense as a car commercial than most of the car commercials I see today. They hop in this motherfucker, right? And they just, I love when you got to look all beat up and bruised and shit, but they're not real bruises. They're just dirt stains on your face and shit. Megan Fox never looked so hot as a dirty ass homeless person. I mean, I'm staring at her and I'm just like, man, I just want to invite her in the house and shower her up real quick, whatever. Like, be like, you know, come on in here. Like, I'm gonna feed you. We're gonna get you showered up and shit. And I know you ain't got no place to go because you're homeless, whatever. So, like, you're just gonna stay here with me, you know? That sounds like the old JB, you know? Finds a homeless chick off the street, clean her up, see if she's worth dating. Then once you clean her up, you realize she still don't want your ass, so she leaves you anyway. And you be like, you homeless, though. She's like, no, I can find somebody else better than this, you know? So, the other Autobots, these motherfuckers ain't even on Earth. I never thought about this before. But they said, they were talking about, like, they knew all this Earth, I don't even want to say mythology, but Earth history and shit. And they ain't even on Earth. I don't even know how Bumblebee got here. I guess he was looking for Optimus. By the way, where the fuck were they? Were they hanging out on the moon? They got their own little ships and shit that they cruise in, and they couldn't coordinate a perfect fucking landing. These Autobots come from a fucking world called Cybertron, where it's nothing but machinery and equipment and stuff like that. So you know their technology is way more advanced than the fact that they can transform into any fucking thing they want to. And for some reason, they can't coordinate a perfect fucking landing when it comes to these spaceships, but whatever. So They all bust out of their little pods and shit like that in different locations, by the way. You know, one decides, I'm going to fuck up a pool, which, by the way, these motherfuckers are bigger than pools. How in the blue fuck did this pool just stay intact? But whatever, I digress. Oh, and then the funny part about it, too, because I think this was, damn, what's the weapons expert or whatever and shit? They killed his ass off in the third film. That shit was hilarious, actually. I can't remember his name. But he's the weapons expert. He's the one that turns the form into the GMC truck. This motherfucker is hiding behind the trees and shit. And the parents, they're looking at their daughter like, hey, what are you doing outside? And what happened to the pool? Which, by the way, nothing happened to the pool. It looks fine. It's intact. And this motherfucker's creeping around the tree and shit. And they act like they can't see his big ass. Every footstep he takes should be causing a damn tremor. And they can't see his big ass behind a fucking palm tree. I was just like, the fucking humans in this movie is just useless as shit. I mean, and they're kind of and they're terrible as shit. Anthony Anderson's in here. And John Turturro. John Turturro was in another fucking movie. He was acting like he was in the goddamn comedy section of an SNL set, skit for X-Files. I mean, he was just on a... It's almost like he snorted some fucking coke and just said, what movie we on now? And he really cranks it up in the second fucking film. He really... It's like someone, like he did lines with Michael Bay. The only difference is Michael Bay is filming and this dude had to be on screen. Michael Bay shot this film as if he was on fucking cocaine because the way these motherfuckers was fighting and they kept shooting from one angle to another angle with them zoom ins and shit, I thought I was going to have a fucking seizure. They should put a damn warning label at the beginning of this film saying, warning, colors and clash of metal may cause seizure. So they all meet up and they look like generic ass fucking like autonomous androids or whatever it may be. These motherfuckers transform into cars and all of a sudden they got color and every fucking thing else. I don't even know what these things are supposed to look like anymore now. like Optimus, he runs off too. It's funny whatever and shit because Shia LaBeouf, they chase him down and shit, Optimus and shit. And for some reason, he runs off. He's like, oh, shit, I didn't want them to see me naked like this. Hold on, let me go transform into this truck. And we just could just meet up at this location and shit. They meet up at this location, and I swear to God, Optimus tells him, are you Sam Witwicky? He's like, hey, yeah. And Megan Fox, he knows your name. We're like, no shit. You're like, just said it. He knows your name. And then he's like, we are Autobots. He says the whole fucking thing, but I don't know what the hell it stood for because I really don't give a shit. I swear to God, he said, this is my first lieutenant. This motherfucker break dances. It's almost, he damn near should have just threw out the fucking, like, I think Ratchet was the yellow one who turned into the Hummer. He should have just fucking threw a cardboard box down and said, there you go, Jazz, make your introduction and shit. I mean, they should have just fucking threw up like an old graffiti sign and just like how they did with Nitro Zuzunam and just said, Jazz. And he just break danced and shit. And to just show him, like, blending in with the local humans and going like, yo, what up, fools and shit. This motherfucker breakdance, jumps on the fucking car with one leg up, kicks it up and shit. Like, he LL Cool J talking about, what's up with you punks? You know what I'm saying? I was just like, what the fuck? My problem with this now, when the fuck did he learn how to talk like this? Where did he learn this shit? He just fucking landed on Earth like 5 minutes ago and he transformed into a fucking Pontiac. And all of a sudden he's speaking fucking... Even Shia LaBeouf's character said, why does he talk like that? Like, how did he learn to talk like that? You and every other black person thought the same thing, Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, why the fuck does that robot talk like that? I mean, it's clear that he was black because he's the first one to fucking die in this film too. He fucking transformed, and then he just goes like, what it do with you punks? He's like, okay. He said, this is my first lieutenant. I was just like, no the fuck he isn't. Stop it. This is my first lieutenant. And then he said, where did he learn to talk like that? We learned your language from the World Wide Web. Who the fuck was talking like this on the World Wide Web in 2007? I just want to know. This motherfucker was listening to rap music, okay? Like, that's what it was. And then, that's when they talking about Bumblebee's vocal cords were battled and damp. What fucking... They were damaged in battle. What battle? This motherfucker had one fight throughout this whole goddamn movie, and we didn't even know if he could talk before that or not and shit. I'm almost curious as to why they didn't give him a voice, because Michael Bay probably just thought, eh, fuck his voice. That dude's a pet, okay? I mean, he's just a pet that Megan Fox can rub on every now and then and shit, you know? That's why I honestly thought she was going to end up fucking one of the Autobots. I didn't think she was going to end up with Shia LaBeouf. I was just like, she's either going to be like, nah, it's not going to work between us, Sam Witwicky, because, like, I got to be honest. That fucking yellow car right there, that motherfucker's hot, you know, and I gotta end up with, and that motherfucker lost his legs and she still drove him around and shit. So we get to this ending fight scene, and Optimus just got done sticking his sword in some fucking other robot's head and spinning it like a swivel and then just beating him off in pieces and shit. Optimus got this great idea that, like, we're looking for this device. We're looking for a fucking cube, basically. We're looking for the damn an infinity stone, and what this stone does, or whatever the hell, I think they, what do they call this, the cube of destiny, some shit like that, whatever it is, some reason it's on fucking Earth of all places. I mean, they come from a planet that's like light years away from fucking Earth, but it, I guess it's fine, whatever. And Optimus's idea is Megatron wants this because he wants to turn Earth, of all places, for some reason. He wants to turn all the electronics into, you know, evil robots or whatever. Or he want to fucking bring back robots and make more Decepticons and shit. Even though they show a fucking flashback sequence, this motherfucker was stabbing his own people and shit. So I was like, well, he just want more slaves, I guess? I have no idea what he wants. So they make this big-ass deal about Megatron and this goddamn cube, right? And Optimus's great idea is, Sam, if this don't go well, I need you to stick this shit right in my chest. And they like, I'm thinking in my head, why would that kill you? You just told us that this fucking box, this cube of destiny here, has the power to turn human electronics. I mean, because they show you in the second film, we talking about a fucking toaster. We talking about a Mountain Dew machine, a fucking Xbox. I mean, all the product placement you can think of. They do this in the second film. They all turn into fucking evil little robots. So why would putting this thing in your chest kill you? At this point, you're just like, I really don't give a fuck. Just get to this fight sequence. They get to this fight sequence, and these Autobots are fucking useless. They just useless. I mean, they don't do shit. Optimus finally shows up to fight Megatron. And mind you, he shows up literally right when Jazz is the only one with the balls enough to try to fight Megatron. And he engulfs Jazz. Jazz is tiny as shit. But I don't know why. That's Jazz's fault. He wanted to be fucking cool and turn himself into a fucking Pontiac. He should have turned himself into something bigger. I mean, I don't know why he didn't do that before. He turns himself into this Pontiac. Megatron picks his ass up, flies off with his ass. And this motherfucker's last words was, you want a piece of me, Megatron, huh? Come get you a piece. Megatron, I swear to God, that motherfucker said, I don't want a piece. I want a two-piece. This motherfucker said, I want a two-piece. Like Jazz some two-piece fried chicken meal or something like that. And then he fucking rips him in half. Optimus just shows up as that fucking truck of all things. I don't know why. I mean, that truck can only get you so far. I mean, I don't know why he just didn't transform into his robotic form to where he can make tall leaps of jumps and shit like that to get to this city faster than, or this fight scene faster than he needed to be. And he just yells out, he don't cry for Jazz, he don't give a shit about Jazz. Meanwhile, Bumblebee ain't got no fucking legs, but that motherfucker still operates just fine. He can do everything just fine or whatever, all the slave ass Bumblebee motherfucker. And this motherfucker says to him, Megatron. And then Optimus, I mean Megatron just looks at him and says, hey Optimus, and he just chugs Jazz. He throws his fucking body pieces. One hits a building, and he just chugs the other one right behind him and shit. And it's just like, man, they had no respect for this motherfucker. Like, they had this motherfucker breakdance, turn into the smallest fucking car ever, make him fight the big bad boss because the other fucking three robots are useless. They ain't doing shit else. only to get his ass toe up, got told a two-piece Kentucky Fried Chicken joke to, and then just chugged his fucking body. And Optimus don't give a shit neither. They have this fight sequence, and I swear to God, Optimus shot him with a gun. Megatron turns around and shoots his ass right back. Optimus' body flew into this building, and he landed on at least about three fucking people and just went, oh, man. And for some reason, their big plan is to get Sam Witwicky with this cube of destiny on a fucking rooftop. I had no idea why they needed to be in the middle of this. I didn't even know what their plan was. I didn't give a shit neither. There's explosions and shit going on. And Megatron, instead of just grabbing the fucking cube, when he finally gets a hold of it, he's just like, my cube. It's almost like he turned into that motherfucker from Luke Cage talking about you old jive turkey and shit like that. He's like, my cube, you gonna lay it on me, boy. Come on now. I was just like, what in the fuck did this movie just turn into? Megatron, for some reason, turned into an old blues jazz musician. He fucking turned into Ray Charles all of a sudden, you know? Motherfucker got blind and started just rubbing on Sam Witwicky's wrist, talking about, yeah, that ain't for me. I'm not into that real quick, whatever. So he felt up on that cube, and he was just like, ooh, look at all her sharp edges. So Optimus has a death wish. I think this is what made him so fucking bloodthirsty throughout these films. Because this whole fucking rest of this fight scene, he getting his ass whooped by Megatron. They made Megatron be this big ass threat, but in the rest of the films, he ain't shit. I mean, Optimus just manhandles his ass throughout the old robot, handles his ass throughout the rest of the fucking franchise. Optimus is begging Sam, put the cube in my chest, Sam, please. It's like fucking end this misery of mine already. I don't even know what. Fuck, I'd have threw that shit out. I'd be like, here, take this shit. Get it off my head. Let me get a sip of this whiskey. He says, fuck it. I'm going to stick this cube in Megatron's chest. See what happens. That motherfucker sticks that shit in Megatron's chest. And that dude started tweaking like he just got the all-time perfect high and shit. He was like, oh, shit. It was almost like, matter of fact, he was Ray Charles when he was speaking, so he turned into Ray Charles, and Ray Charles started doing drugs and shit. That was fucking Megatron. He was twitching and shit, shaking. All the other robots flew off or was whatever and shit. Then the movie wraps up. Then we get into the second film. They tried this second film, I got a little history on. This was the first ever movie screening I ever went to. I went to the premiere of this. My professor in college gave me two. He gave me his passes. I remember me taking my soon-to-be fiancé at the time, whatever. And we went and saw this shit. I just remember laughing my fucking ass off. I think it was my sociology professor. I was a sociology major. I can't remember his name. He was one of the best fucking professors ever, though. And I went to go see this film. I never fucking laughed as much as possible, whatever. But I remember having this, like, disdain and look on my face, like, this shit will not end. This second movie opens up with this big ass fight in fucking Tokyo of all places. And it ends, I swear to God, with this fucking robot that the weapons expert and shit. I think his name is Ironhide. He says the same fucking lines. It's almost like they dubbed his voiceover. Decepticon punk. And then they straight up say, we can't let anybody like the civilians know about this battle that just happened. What? You just dropped Optimus from a fucking plane and had this huge ass battle with this fucking Decepticon that's on wheels. It rolled through the whole fucking city of Tokyo. And you're gonna say, we gotta keep this a secret and can't let this get out to the public. The fuck you can't. So either way, John Turturro's in this and he's at like an all-time worst. I mean, he is like doubled down on the cocaine. He will not stop. He is just all over this fucking film. They introduced two ghetto bots in this fucking film. Because I guess they had to double down on jazz. I swear to God, because at the end of the first film, they brought jazz pieces and shit. And Optimus don't give a fuck about jazz. I think he hated jazz. I think he wanted to kill that motherfucker. I think that was a setup, to be honest. Like, you know, like some 12 Years a Slave shit. Like, Jazz went drinking with Optimus once. And Optimus was thinking in his head, I'm going to own your ass one day. You just wait and see, boy. And Jazz was just like, he kept saying that, I'm not a slave shit. And Optimus was like, yeah, we'll see about that shit. You ain't no slave, but your ass will be dead in 2 seconds. So they bring up Jazz's piece and says, man, we couldn't save Jazz. We can't even fix him. But they gave Bumblebee new fucking legs.
They fix his ass. How can you not fix these people? They fucking robots. You should be able to attach his fucking legs back to his body. So anyway, fucking Jazz is in pieces of shit, and Optimus just looks at him and said, oh, well, we lost one friend, but we gained many. I was like, ain't this a bitch? Ain't this a bitch? I think they took them two pieces of Jazz, and they made these little ghetto bots called Mudflap and Skids. One of these motherfuckers, I kid you not, I don't even know what this is on the car neither. Like, I was trying to figure out as watching this movie, what piece of the car is that? This motherfucker has gold chains, and that's Mudflap. Skids has a fucking gold tooth. And the only reason why I know, can distinguish which one is which, Skids is the green one and Mudflap is the red one, is because at the end of the fucking movie, when Mudflap's ass get eaten up by this one robot, Skids is talking, oh man, he dead, man. I swear, man. Mudflap gone, man. That's the only reason why I remember his fucking name was like, because John Turturro and this other new character they introduced that wants to fuck Megan Fox, or he's like roommates with Shia LaBeouf's character. They just having like a conversation about like what we should do, we should run and shit, and you can just hear Skids in the background. I swear, man, he dead, man. I don't know what's gonna happen, man. He dead now. I just like, somebody shut him the fuck up, please. And you just see this gold tooth. I swear to fucking God, Mudflap is alive still. He comes out of this robot. So the twins try to, they talk and jive the whole fucking fight. They attach a, they swing from a rope and they hang on this fucking crane. Mudflaps end up shooting Skids on accident. What, this shit made me laugh so fucking much. But Skids ends up on the ground. This motherfucker loses his gold tooth. He said, oh man, you shot me, man. What the fuck is the deal with that, baby? This motherfucking gold tooth flopped out of his mouth. I don't know why that shit was so fucking funny to me, but it was fucking hilarious. It's just like, he didn't lose any other teeth but the gold one. Why the fuck does he have teeth in the first place? Anyway, the beginning of the film, though, they introduced some new shit. So the plot of this movie was the Allspark. It was a piece of this in Sam's old clothing and shit, and he's off to college. And his parents, especially the mother, she the most annoying goddamn character in the whole fucking franchise. That is until you meet other characters and you just go like, well, they realized they didn't have Anthony Anderson because he was the annoying one in the first one. So they didn't have him. So they said, we got to crank up the antics with his fucking mom. We got to make her do a weed brownie because I guess that's such a college thing and Michael Bay type of humor that we just got to do that shit. The humans are fucking awful. I mean, except for Tyrese. He's fucking hilarious. I mean, he is like the epitome of fucking funny in this film. Some of the lines that man is meant to read, it is downright laughable. And plus, he's not a really good actor, so him delivering them is fucking hilarious. When that motherfucker said, we sweated blood, all we did together, blood, sweat, and precious metal we shed, and I was just like, no, he didn't just say that shit. They introduced a fucking human transformer here. There's this chick that's in the Sam Witwicky, and for the life of me, nobody can see why. Because, I mean, look, Shia LaBeouf ain't an ugly-looking dude, but it's fucking Megan Fox, first of all, and this other hot-ass chick. And I'm not gonna lie, I was looking at her, I didn't give a shit if she had a tail. She was still fucking hot. And any woman that want to give me the time of day like that, whatever, I can look past your transforming abilities. I'll be happy to look past that, because she was really fucking hot. So he was hollering and shit. I would have just been like, well, I mean, we all got like, you know, defects in our human lives and shit. You know, I mean, I might have one finger bigger than the other, you know. I mean, that don't make me no more different than you having a metal tail that's coming out your ass right now, you know. This woman turned into a fucking transformer. I said, I don't even know why you transforming into cars anymore. Why, if you could transform into people, why the fuck are you transforming a car? The war is over. We lost. They transform into this hot-ass woman and shit. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, where the fuck did this come from? Where? I mean, it just came out of Michael Bay's shot, I guess. And so Optimus ends up dying in this film. And the whole movie is they just on the travel because
Sam Witwicky can see these visions and shit. And there's a creepy ass scene with the teacher taking a bite out of this apple and throwing it to this girl, and she's like winking at him and shit like that. I mean, it's just got like fucking Lionel Richie "Hello" written all over this. Like, the dean needs to step in, and the admissions district, they need to step in, and this teacher need to be fired like ASAP. He's trying to fuck his students here, and I'm just not feeling it. It's kind of creepy, even if they are in college. I really don't give a shit. It's fucking just like ill. This dude looked like he couldn't. It wasn't it Rainn Wilson, too, of all fucking people? It's like, nah. I mean, all I could see when I saw him is I kept seeing the fucking Crimson Bolt from Super. You know, him beating people with wrenches and shit like that. They get to this last fight sequence. Let's just wrap this. We're going to get it, because I've been going for 45 minutes. We're going to wrap this up, people. They get into this last fight sequence. Optimus, for some reason, Shia LaBeouf dies, but he comes back because all the fucking Gigatron bots that Optimus is part of, whatever. I forgot what the fucking big bad villain of this film. This motherfucker can teleport, though. I saw this shit at the end, and I was just like, damn. Motherfucker can teleport. There's a fucking robot in here that's called, I think his name was Jetstream. For some reason, he's old age, you know, and he's a legend. Once again, I mean, in the first movie, which I just saw, they just landed on Earth. I don't know how you can be of legend when these motherfuckers did. And for some reason, they decided, I'm just going to hang out in a museum and just be a display jet for the rest of the whatever life I have left. It's so fucking hilarious why I bring that up, because it's like, I thought these things were just robots, but then we learn later in light in these films that they're like sentient beings. And this robot who can transform into anything, he decides, I'm just going to be a jet and hang out in this museum to be looked at by people as a fucking relic. He's a sentient being that can transform to anything, and he just wants to hang out in the museum all fucking day. Oof. So Shia LaBeouf comes back to life. The Matrix, it apparently is something you can't find. It's something you got to earn. That sounds like some bullshit, but whatever. He brings Optimus back. Optimus gets shanked. The fucking big bad villain shanks him because he could teleport and shit. He literally teleported, shanked his ass, stole his fucking Matrix, and teleported right to a fucking pyramid. And then they're yelling at Optimus, get up, Optimus, because the other robots, they fucking useless. They can't do shit. Get up, Optimus. Please get up. And I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with him. It's like, I mean, he just came back to life. I mean, now he's on his fucking knees and shit. Like, what's wrong with it? I thought taking the Matrix would have just killed his ass, but apparently not. So, this fucking Jetstream robot, he's like, oh, all my life, I never thought I would have seen a Prime. So if I can give my life. And he digs into his chest and he pulls out his fucking Allspark himself and he just drops dead, saying, take my parts, Optimus. These motherfuckers did a fusion dance to where Ratchet said, get the cables hooked up to him. And then all of a sudden, this motherfucker Optimus just stole this dude's parts. And he was like, he just became stronger than ever. He could fly. He took on Megatron and this other fucking villain robot. And he kicked both of their asses. This other villain dude who was, I guess he was a Prime too, because that was his brother's. He didn't even stand a chance. Like, he got his ass kicked. And an Optimus, because he's so fucking bloodthirsty, he blew off Megatron's face, or half his face at least. But then he was like stabbing the shit out of this other Prime. Like, he stabbed him right in the fucking jaw. And then not only that, this Prime's like coughing for his life. He's like, oh shit. Oh, Optimus, this dude is in like a quarter of Egypt and shit. He's like trying to come through this little like alleyway and shit. Optimus dug his fist and punched this dude right in the fucking chest. Like he was Punisher from Punisher Warzone. And this dude just exploded. I was like, damn. The bloodthirst of this motherfucker is crazy. Like, meanwhile, all this was going on. You don't know where any of the other Autobots are. You like, I don't give a fuck where they at, I guess. They just useless, I guess. And then Optimus comes from behind a pyramid, of all things, too, at that. And the parts just fall off. He's just like, yeah, get this shit off me, dude. Like, It's like, dude, no respect for this Jetstream fella here. I'm probably fucking his name up, so they probably like, you ain't got no respect for him yet. Well, they fucking robots. And thus we come to an end with Megan Fox telling Sam Witwicky she loves him. And you gotta have Linkin Park's What I've Done. Was that what that was? I gotta be honest with you. I really don't fucking know. I mean, it kicked in and like you just wanna shed a tear and you wanna like cry because you really wanna like, you know, your reason why you wanna cry is because like you just saw one of the greatest fucking heroes of our lifetime and he literally just I think it was called New Divide. Across this new divide. Yeah, sorry, Linkin Park sucked ass. They were strong. Shit, they were terrible. And then Optimus gives a speech. We do not know of those out there. But we have friends from fallen allies. When nobody dies in these fucking movies, I don't know. The only person that ever fucking died in these Transformers on the Autobot side is fucking Jazz. Like, they killed that black robot and they just said, he's got to go. He can no longer live. We knew Mudflap and Skids were just some wiggers. So, they were going to live and shit. But then Optimus is giving his damn speech and shit. And he's like, I got to say this one more time, whatever and shit. There was a secret war. And the humans were caught in the crossfire. But we are now allied together as one. And Sam Witwicky, he's the chosen one. And then that link, the screen goes black, and then Lincoln. Across this new divide. Look at this shit. I love this poster of this fucking album right here. It's got the pyramid in the back with Optimus and Bumblebee ain't even that goddamn important of a character in these fucking films. So why he keep be popping up on these posters? I have no fucking idea. And then there's just like Sam and Megan Fox character. They just hugged up and shit like that. And they're just like, man, that was 2009 for you. Oof, man. All right, let me just erase this off my Apple Music play because I don't want that shit popping up as far as, like, you know, this is, like, future shit you need to listen to. But that is Transformers 1 and 2 in a nutshell. Stay tuned next week for Craft Beer Week when we talk about Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon. Dark of the Moon, my favorite one out of all of them. Damn, I can't wait. Well, this is the second ending of this show, if you will. First, we had the whiskey one, then we had the Transformers movie talk. I hope you enjoyed that. I tried to get as much as possible within less than an hour time frame without going way too overboard. But for the third film, yeah, it's probably going to be a lot of shit talking on that film because that was when I turned around into enjoying these films and understanding what they are. They're fucking masterpieces, and we're going to explain that next week. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you for everyone that's just been tuning in, listening, like always, buying the merch. I see more people bought some shirts and stuff like that. That's always dope. Head on over to TeePublic, get yourself some Last Drop merchandise. Thank you for everyone that's checked out the bonus episode that was done on Saturday for Ardbeg Day. That was great. I know it was like impromptu. Well, it actually wasn't impromptu. I promoted that shit last week. So, yeah, you should have fucking listened to it. As always, I'm your godfather of whiskey. We're going to be back next week. With Craft Beer Week. Cody will be back, Craft Beer Week, and also it'll be Transformers Dark of the Moon. We're going to find out how the moon has been hiding all these goddamn robots on them and the evil ones too at that. So with that said, Godfather of Whiskey, JB here. Livers will never be the same, and glasses will never be dry.